okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay this man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, North Bay Station Giants. I'm Tom Allen. Just met over the board. We have Miss Stephanie Koenig as well. Steph, you missed a flurry of activity this morning as Matt Weber is hooking up computers, doing anything before the show, because one of ours blew on Friday. So we're good to go. Yeah, now we got all new stuff.
Well, congratulations. Whole new equipment.
Well, we have one new stuff, anyway. S&P Futures up 27, NASDAQ Futures up 84, Dow up 250 as we continue to bounce from last week, the 800-some point down day. We'll see how far this goes. The Fed is in Jackson Hole this week. And I'm going to say that for the 100th consecutive year, Dr. J and Kenny Polcari aren't there. Steph, what do you think about that? When are we going? By the way, when are we leaving? When are we going out there? We bringing Claire?
Pardon me?
We bringing Claire out to Jackson Hole when you and I go? To hang with the big
shots?
I think
that would be great.
Yeah. She'd fit right in.
She'd look great next to some moose and, you know. Yeah. It's beautiful out there.
she'd be like, what's that thing?
Yes, she would.
Anyway, I was reading the news this weekend, so I had people overworking and, of course, pouring rain yesterday and all kinds of crazy stuff happening. But I'm reading the news and I just, somehow, Steph, you get this idea and maybe that we as a country are like unclear on the concept or I just have gotten so past what the world is that I can't even go there anymore. Did you know, Maddie, I was watching the Little League World Series the other night. We're going to switch to sports here for a quick second, Steph, before we zero in on all the other stuff. That now that used to be, as long as you pitched, when I was in Little League, I don't know when you were in Little League, it was you couldn't pitch more than 6 innings a week. Right? That was the deal.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It didn't matter whether you pitched like 900 innings, but it was 6 innings.
900 pitches, you mean?
900 pitches. But, so it was 6 innings. So now, of course, we've gotten a little more sophisticated than that. And we have pitches, these kids, because obviously you get in these week-long tournaments. If you've got, I don't know what the roster can be for a Little League World Series group, but it can't be more than 15, maybe?
I mean, that seems about right, yeah.
But everybody at some point has to pitch. Not everybody. I mean, if you're going to, especially if you go down to the loser's bracket, right? I mean, because if you're talking, even if it was 6 innings a week, how many games are these guys going to play? 7? 6? I mean, if you come out of the loser, I mean, it's a long week, or 10 days, or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely have almost everyone pitch, at least an inning or two.
Well, now, of course, they keep count on the pitches. Right. So last night, I would never have guessed this. Steph, if you ever know, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. They intentionally walk this guy, right? And they're doing the major league thing now where you just wave the dude to first base like softball. Mm-hmm. So guess what the umpire does?
What?
I don't know.
He turns around and says, add 4 pitches to the kid's total.
What's the point of that?
Is that a rule?
That's the rule. So they charge the kid
intentionally with 4. Walking somebody, they're now charging them 4 pitches.
They're charging him as if he threw the 4 balls, even though he didn't.
So they're looking at the pitch count as, from a rule standpoint. And strategy, if you're going to walk a guy intentionally, we're going to penalize you by charging your kid 4 pitches, when in reality the rule was put in specifically to protect the kid's arm,
right,
which he's not throwing the pitches. So it's obviously stupid.
You would think.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but I'm like, what is that all about?
That seems counter to the game.
Yeah.
The game is about strategy and about, you know, beating a competitor.
Well, plus, even if it was an intentional walk and you lob the 4 outside, those aren't exactly pitches, although I guess they are pitches, but.
Yeah. Well, if they still made them throw it 4 times, I'd be fine with them counting it as pitches. But for this, they're making the pitch count rule about strategy when really it's about protecting the kids' arms.
Well, that's what you thought.
Yeah. I mean, well, that is why it was put in.
Why would you think that? Why would you ever think that? Somebody would have an ulterior motive there somewhere.
But it's hilarious now that now they're putting that in the manager's thought process where if he or she wants to walk somebody, they actually have to think about, well, that is going to add four pitches to the pitch count. And if I don't want to pull my starter, I got to think about that.
So this is, because I was, I'm thinking this is like Mr. Boffo. Remember that comic strip where the guy has a couple books out? Where his main line is...
I never read that.
Oh,
I'm sorry, it's out on me, too.
We used to read it in the pit every day back in the... I mean, the guy's probably dead by now, but the whole thing was they showed this guy doing something, like, really stupid, and the tagline was always unclear on the concept. And, so, I did you get the big news out of Indiana?
No, what happened in Indiana?
See, you guys... You got to get into this stuff, Maddie. When you have workers over, and I'm going through this stuff all weekend, I get to read all this stuff. You know, you're actually having a good time. After the guy used an assault rifle to shoot at those policemen in Philadelphia, and 2 weeks after the we've had a couple of what was it 3 weeks we've had a couple of major killings right in this country with assault rifles.
Last week,
yeah. The Portage Fraternal Order of Police like Foundation. Has a 5-hour raffle where they're raffling off an AK-47.
So the people that are having,
So of course, everybody
part of the problem here.
Everybody's in an outrage, and the lady who's the senator from that district, who I think I've met, because she's come to a couple of parties in Ogden, and she's very nice and actually very principled. Actually, cares about state budgets. I mean, if everybody was like her, we probably wouldn't have as much issues with our politicians. I mean, super dedicated. I mean, she's outraged. She's like, what are you guys doing? Can't you give away a car like everybody else? What is the matter?
Come on, something.
So guess what the defense was?
What?
Well, first of all, guns don't shoot people. People shoot people. That's number one, which we Maddie and I cringe when we hear that. And the second one was, what do you mean? The chances sold out in a half hour. It must be a good idea. That was the defense. Like... You got to be kidding me. They're standing by it. They're absolutely standing by it. And the second prize, I think, was a pistol. And the third prize was a knife.
Well, I mean, if they want more business, that's a good way to kind of keep things going. I mean, how often do they do these?
I think it's once a year. I don't know.
Looking to do one of these once a month? You know, I mean, you can really probably up your stats about how... important your police forces.
Could you imagine? Well, I can't imagine. Even in Indiana, which has got their own way of looking at things, even in Indiana, if a policeman got shot by one of those guns at the police department raffle, even in Indiana, that would have to be the most incredible thing that ever happened.
Well, it would maybe change the police's attitude about what they raffle off.
Steph, this is Indiana.
Yeah, I know. I said maybe.
So I'm kind of working up the chain here. Now we have Trump. These are just four indications of my idea of why this world is unclear in the concept. When Trump pushed off the tariffs last week on some of the items, and we rattled off how insane it was, one was shelled peanuts, one was unshelled peanuts, and one got pushed and one didn't, and didn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it, except for the cell phone thing. The Apple doesn't have to pay the tariffs. Turns out that the day before, Trump says he talked to Apple CEO Tim Cook about tariffs and Samsung. And here it is. Trump said Cook made a good case. It would be difficult for Apple to pay tariffs when Samsung does not face the same hurdle because most of its manufacturers in South Korea. I thought he made a very compelling argument, Trump told reporters Sunday. The president said on Friday he was having dinner with Apple CEO. Now, do you think the guy is smart enough to think for a second that if he had dinner with every single one of the CEOs that are affected by the tariffs, that every single one could make a good case about why him and he's getting screwed? Or is it just Apple?
Well, I don't think he cares. The point is that probably the Apple CEO has contributed to his campaign if he's having dinner with him. And so, you know, I think that's probably... It's so it's closer to him.
So
I mean, we do realize that the only thing that affects Trump is is personal, like a personal relationship or personal discussion, right? He changes his mind every 5 minutes based on, I mean, the NRA does that, right? They call him up and yep. say, hey, your policy on this is not work for us, change your mind. So he does.
Well, not to be outdone, the Democrats, no wonder our government is so, I'm going to say, really bleeped up. Not to be outdone, before everybody comes in and says, you know, this chief guy is always going after the Republicans, the guy who's the head, the guy, talk about Southside, starting in late May, represented David Cicilline. So I'm going to say a good Italian lad. He's mm-hmm. leading the House antitrust investigation into major tech companies. However, starting in late May, five senior executives from Amazon made individual contributions to the guy. Experts say, and I want to know who these experts are. Experts say these political contributions by corporate executives are common, but their effectiveness remains questionable. Well, I'm an expert from the South Side. I'm just an expert on being from the South Side. That doesn't make me an expert of anything. All I know is when people give you money, they expect something back for it. And especially if I go out and all of a sudden I see some homeless guy and I give him $50, it's probably to shovel my sidewalk in the snow. It's not because I may give him something just for dinner, but it wouldn't be $50. Does anybody honestly think that these people give this money for nothing? And how does this guy do this and think it's okay to take this dough?
Well, unfortunately, our Supreme Court decided that they thought they could give money without any repercussions. But
I get the part where I get the support. But the same issue happened here in Illinois, Steph. When you give contribution to judges' campaigns,
mm-hmm.
okay, there was somebody, some doofus, out in the western Illinois, took a bunch of money. His biggest contributor was State Farm. And all of a sudden, there's a big case involving State Farm. And the other side says, hey, you took a bunch of dough from these guys. How about recusing your behind? Oh, no, I'm fine. No, you're not fine. I mean, I don't have this problem with this guy taking money from Amazon, because that's the Supreme Court say. But how do you now continue to lead this committee in an investigation into him? I mean, even if you think you are, even in his own mind, his own blind mind, if he thinks that he is okay with this and he's going to ignore this stuff, what does it matter, Steph? What are you telling everybody else? Remind you, well, this is a bad Monday morning for me.
The problem is, at the moment, conflicts of interest clearly are not that important. We've got Trump, who still owns his companies, who has people staying in his hotels, who, so he's making money off being the president of the United States, which goes against every convention we previously had, and yet that's acceptable at the moment. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I think, unfortunately, we're in a time and place where conflict of interest is not something at the moment that people are working towards. Now, I think it's horrible, because the only people then that are going to win are the people that have money. And that, again, leaves the little guy out. And this is the biggest problem, I think, with 90% of what's going on at the moment anyway, and why we have people so disabused with our country at the moment.
Why don't the people that are getting hosed realize they're getting hosed?
I don't know. They seem to be, at the moment, behind the guy who is hosing them more than anyone. So I cannot explain that. Hopefully, maybe someone will explain. Call in, please explain.
Yeah, please explain. How is it that people? But this dude, I don't see how this guy's. You know, he's a young Democrat. He's looking for dough. Okay, well. You can't take that money this year. That's my morality. Once you're done with this, you can do whatever you want. You know, but I mean, you can't. If I said that to him, he would know what I was talking about. But I think Manny, we talk about it all the time. I think it actually is stuff. We're not immoral anymore. We're amoral. We don't even know.
It boggles my mind. So it kind of leaves me speechless. So I'm not good at explaining, because I just don't understand.
Steph, when I was a chairman of committees, which I was for a long time in a CBOE, and people talk about traitors as being crooks, there never was a more honorable place, maybe because everybody was a crook, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but the fact is, there were rules that people understood the deal. So when you were in a committee, if anything affected, if there was a problem with, say, the telephone crowd, and you were in the telephone pit and you were on my committee, I'd say, Steph, I love you, but take that behind out in the hall for like the next 2 hours. And you'd just be out there. Dr. J was on my, for lack of a better term, the specialist committee, the DPM guys. He was the first DPM that got elected. He spent half the year in the hall. I wouldn't let him vote on anything that affected him. 2 years later, yeah. I'm chairman of the same committee. I said to this guy, shouldn't you be recusing yourself? What do you mean? That's why I'm here, to vote my own best interests. Okay. I mean, this is changed in our lifetime, Steph. I mean, I'm here. My boss wants me here to vote our own best interest. Well, that's fine. I want you in the hall.
Right.
You know, but finally, when there's 3 or 40 guys, I know you can't kick the whole committee out. I mean, so these guys, I assume, are giving money to everybody on this committee investigating them. And the guys are taking it. And think it's okay.
Well, I don't want to make any assumptions, but it would seem that that's probably the case.
Maddie will probably remember this stuff, but we've only gotten real serious bad, was before tweets, emails and stuff, maybe twice.
Mm-hmm.
One was when I had the chairman of the, the head of the city teacher's pension plan, and I was asking questions regarding
that.
Yeah, I was asking questions like, well, if enough people leave and things, I mean, the last man standing better have a lot of money. Because it seems to me your solution to any problem is just raise taxes on other people. He says, well, yeah, that's the deal we have. And, so
unfortunately, that's the only option, I think, based on all of the constraints that have been put on them. But I agree, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, and of course, the emails were stuff like, Chief's always hanging around with his 1%er friends. I guess that's you, Steph. We hang around sometime.
Am I a 1%er? I've done the math. I know I'm not.
No, you and Robert McPhee, maybe. He might be a sneaky 1%er. He might be a sneaky 1%er. I don't think Robert is. Matt Weber, nah. Kath, no.
But McPhee and everyone else just worked for the government. That means they probably aren't the 1%ers.
McPhee could be sneaky. I don't know if I trust him. Robert Reed, just a regular guy. Anyway, the other one was when what the hell was I talking about? Oh, the one was the one guys with that, and then there was the gold guys. But the third one was I forget, Maddie. What was it? We got all these bad emails. I'm going crazy here.
You just said it was twice.
Yeah, but well, we got the gold guys didn't like us either, but that wasn't as bad. Before I became a gold bug, when I said, well, you know, you pay to store it, you don't get any dividends. They didn't like that so much. But the, we had something to do with, people sending money into people. This really got everybody pissed off, Steph. I said, what we need to do is we need to get a regular guy lobby. Not a regular guy and gal lobby. Where everybody should send $500 into, and we'll let you run it, Steph, because you're the most honest among us. The Stocks and Jacks lobby,
mm-hmm.
or PAC or whatever. And every time somebody shoves $1,000 into Dick Durbin's pocket to do something we don't want him to do, you run up behind him and you shove $1,000 or $1,100 in the other pocket and you say, we don't want you doing that. And we got nothing but emails saying, Chief's nuts, why should I have to pay for my politicians to listen to me? Well, did you even vote? No. Have you ever talked to a politician? No. Then how the hell would he even know what you're thinking, much less what you want him to do? But people were absolutely outraged that they should have to contribute to get access to get their point across. First of all, I would be outraged too, except, do you see any other alternative stuff?
Well, I mean, the answer is I do, only because I spent some time talking to politicians at certain points. And more lobbying for myself for a job than to lobby for any particular issue. So, I mean, I do know that they're accessible. I think you're right that there's too much money in play sometimes. And so, you know, their loyalty to their constituents can be swayed by contributions from outside forces. But I also do think if they're really good politicians and are going to stay in their role for a long, significant portion of time, they do need to listen to the people that they...
Steph, it doesn't surprise me that one of the politicians would listen to you. An attractive, bright lady, they're not going to listen to me.
Well, I mean, I wasn't trying to make policy decisions or have to make policy decisions, which is a different thing than you know, maybe some others.
But
I don't know. I mean, I think Dick Durbin and you know, like I said, I was around Danny Davis's office a lot and Dick Durbin some, and you know, they really do try and bring to be open to their constituents and be available for them. But your point about the fact that there's too much money in the game is 100% right.
Well, they're always going to be. How can I say this? They're very deft at it, Steph. They're very deft at it. They're going to be open to you and me. They're going to make it sound like they're listening, but nothing we say is going to get anywhere. The money already has the direction going. I mean, you're not going to be able to stop Lincoln Yards, no matter what you do.
Unfortunately, not.
No, I mean you could have 10,000 people show up and want to stop Lincoln Yards. The momentum is just there. Stuff just happens.
How did the project ever get started? Do you have any idea?
I don't, but the whole, I would love, Steph, I keep seeing these places get sold. They're all getting wrecked. I don't know. I would love to find, there's gotta be somebody that we can talk to. Of course, it would be about a 15-hour show. These guys get the TIF, they get the zoning. Do they get to buy it from the old guy at depressed prices because he doesn't have the zoning and they do? How do all the owners cave to the new guy? Are you condemning people's property to give it to other people? I mean, what the hell is going on? I mean, the Supreme Court said you could do that. Remember, about 10 years ago?
Yep.
Now, does somebody get to... I've had a car wash over here forever. Somebody gets to condemn my property and sell it to Matt Weber for 80 cents on the buck when I know it's worth 150 cents on the buck? I mean, how do those deeds called? There's more to this than meets the eye. I mean, the city had a square block in there for their, where they fixed all their fire trucks. Did they sell it to these guys? Was it under market? Did they give it to them? I mean, there's a bazillion questions I have, and I don't even know the deal very much. I mean, does one guy get?
Nobody really seems to know the deal, and yeah, I have a million questions myself.
Now, is a TIF for an area? Or if you and I had property there, do we get to say, no, you're going to put 40,000 people around here, we're building the coffee shop, and we participate in the TIF because it's in this region and we just happen to be here. But everybody's moving. I mean, nobody's saying, no, I'll just stay here. I'm guessing it must only apply to the one group of people, which would really be screwed up.
I don't know, but you're just watching things get flattened, and it's for miles and miles.
Yeah, it's how many acres? For those that don't know Chicago politics, Chicago for years and years and years had a huge industrial base. And we're talking about the north shore of the Chicago River, north branch, shore on each side of it for, shall we say, a mile. And at one point, was it 15 years ago, 20 years ago, Steph? They said, no, in order to retain Chicago's industrial legacy, this area is going to be an industrial corridor. And you can't put any residential here and blah, blah, blah. So even, and you can't even use sales. So you can't have a Mercedes dealer on Goose Island, but you can have the Mercedes service thing. Because that's not considered sales or residential, that's considered industrial, correct? And you'll have things over there like the guys that wash all the tablecloths and napkins and stuff for the industrial. You see the Jethro Restaurant Depot. You'll see those kinds of things all along there. And there was a steel company and there was a bunch of tanneries and Morton Salt was there. I mean, the whole area was you couldn't even consider. So these people, as the industry kind of left, the stuff was a little dormant. Right, so you get the idea that we're not going to leave this property dormant, but the zoning still is industrial. All of a sudden, these guys decide this is going to be a whole new development. We're going to put 60,000 people or 65,000 people, but we, by the way, need the whole area somehow. Even with, you know, with all the people that are there, the wrecking companies and all the stuff that would be industrial. Now, of course, because it's industrial, there is no rapid transit. There's not even a bus down Elston Avenue. And the one street, because it's right by the river, the one street that services the entire area, thanks to the Ramfather, now is one lane in each direction.
Mm-hmm.
And the North Avenue Bridge, well, they just replaced the North Avenue Bridge, but the Diversity Avenue Bridge is one lane, and the Cortland Avenue Bridge is the oldest bridge in the city. It's one lane. So the access to this area, where the hell are you going to put 60,000 people? I have no idea. But doesn't seem to matter. Now you just see places.
What are 60,000 people going to do in the city for jobs?
Well, I don't know. That's another issue, but you better have them right there because you're not going anywhere. But all of a sudden, everything just keeps rolling. And we've got the new mayor rolls in, and her thing, and I don't really care if anybody takes umbrage to this. They said, what are you going to do about this Lincoln Yards? Because it was being approved right when she was already elected but not in. And her mm-hmm. trade-off was what? More minority jobs for the construction? So let me get this straight. If I was mayor and there was a really horse bleep deal, in my opinion, it was screwing everybody, and it didn't explain to anybody, but if I said, that's okay, you can only hire Irish carpenters, that's okay?
Well, no, she did complain about it. She did say this deal would never have gone through if I was mayor.
But she is mayor, and it's going through.
I guess she figured, she found out she couldn't stop it. It was too far along. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I think she saw where the money was.
She did recognize it was not a good deal.
But it's going through.
Yeah.
And my alderman, she ran on a thing about how she fought against it. It's going through. Well, if everybody fought against it, how's it going through? Who's the man behind the curtain?
Rahm Emanuel would be my guess.
Okay, but I mean, SP Futures up 32. Looks like we're off to the races here. We'll see how far we go. Last week we had three down weeks in a row. I'm sure starting out this week like it's not going to be. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right
now. Welcome up to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Oshie, Stephanie Connie. He is Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures now up 34. We're really putting a whip to it. SP Futures up 102. Highest of the morning that I've seen. I think for sure it's been the highest of the morning. Dow Futures up close to 300, 297. Over in Europe, we've got rallies all over the place. DAX up 154, 1.3%. FTSE up 75, 1%. CAC around up 56, 1%. Asia, Nikkei up 144.7. Shanghai up 59.2. I'm not 0.2, 2%. Hang Seng up 557, another 2%. So we're obviously must be feeling some love over there about maybe something happening with this quote deal. On again, off again deal on how long we take this. 10-year, 1.61, so up a hair. Bund, minus 0.6 instead of minus 0.7, so coming back towards zero, which is bizarre. Oil up 14 cents, 55.01. Brent up 29. Gold, as you might expect, down 13, but still over 1,500. 1,510. Silver down 24, 1,688. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, and sports, Mr. Weber?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. This sports weather traffic update is brought to you by Luckbox Magazine, the guide to money and probability. It's available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. I'm looking at the most recent issue, and it's a fantastic edition. I would highly recommend checking it out. I know Barnes & Noble carries it, among other places, but Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. So make sure you sign up for that today if you have not already. No strings attached. Just sign up and get a free digital subscription. luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
You're not going to be getting like your picture on the email or anything?
No. Yeah. Off to a good start here this morning on the area expressways, although we did have a crash on the Eisenhower inbound side just before Austin Boulevard coming in from the Western Burbs, but everything else looking good out there. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Traffic building on the Stevenson around Cicero, but no accidents to report. Southside expressways are quiet. Suburban tollways are looking good, too. Everything else is nice and quiet out there, so enjoy a good start to a Monday morning. Weather today, an absolutely perfect summer day today. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 81. Low humidity compared to what it's been the last couple of days. Right now it's crystal clear and 73 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 109 today. Right now it's clear and 79. In sports, Cubs won their second straight and won their first road series since May. If you count yesterday's game as a road game, they blew out the Pirates 7-1 last night. Rizzo went deep, as did Hayward and Castellanos. Jose Quintana continues to pitch really well. You can make an argument that he's should be the Cubs' number one starter if the playoffs were to start today. Seven innings of shutout ball again. The guy's been unhittable for the last 2 months. White Sox were blown out by the Angels 9-2. Diamondbacks beat the Giants 6-1. As we take our Monday morning look at the Major League Baseball standings.
Yeah, the playoffs started today. The Cubs aren't even in it, are they?
Yeah, they're tied for with the Cardinals.
Well, they'd have to play in the first game.
And they're in the second wild card game.
They had a playoff. They'd have to, like last year, lose both games.
Well, they'd still be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you're wrong.
Well, I guess, yeah.
Yes. White Sox are 55-68, third place in the AL Central, 20.5 back of the first place Twins. The Twins, who have won 4 in a row and are starting to distance themselves from the Indians again after the Indians caught them. Twins are 2.5 up on Cleveland. Cubs are in a virtual tie with the Cardinals. Both are sitting at 8 games above 500, but the Cubs have played 2 more games than St. Louis, so the Cubs are 1 percentage point back. 533 winning percentage for the Cardinals, 532 for the Cubs. But both tied at the top of the NL Central. 2 games up on the Brewers. In the NL Central waste. Diamondbacks are 62-63. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They've dropped below 500 again. 19.5 back behind the first place Dodgers. But if you look at the wild card standings, the Cubs, if they were to lose that play-in game against the Cardinals, as Chief's talking about hypothetically, they would have the second wild card spot. 2 games up on the Brewers. The Diamondbacks are 4.5 out of that second wild card spot as they continue to slip and are pretty much out of the playoffs at this point. Lastly, Chief, Hall of Fame broadcaster, CBS guy for a long, long time, Jack Whitaker passed away at age 95. He famously called Secretariat's Triple Crown, the first Super Bowl, all kinds of huge sporting events.
He was real
for a
good.
Long time.
I remember the Secretariat stuff well. I mean, he was a wait, we'll talk about CB, RIP, huh? Cedric Benson?
Yeah, Cedric Benson, for those that didn't hear, fourth overall pick in the 2005 NFL draft.
That was the oddest.
Or 2006 NFL
draft. That was the oddest draft ever, man. The Bears didn't know what to do with that draft. And I don't think I've ever seen a draft. I don't know if people have the history of this. If theirs is different than mine, please let us know. But the top three picks were all... they were the top three picks. I mean, anybody would have picked any one of those three people. And the next 10 were all, like, even. They were all good ball players. I mean, it wasn't like they were schlumps or anything. They weren't. But in the Bears thought they were going to get one of the guys that went the third or something. And then they almost, like, run out on the clock and then picked him. And they really should have. They could have traded down and got him or anybody just as good, even though he was a good ball player. Because it was just one of those years where it just, you know, there were three, like, future Hall of Famers. And then there were 10 really good players right in a row. It was just odd like that. So the Bears got him, but they never were happy with the pick. He had a good run for him.
In hindsight, looking at it, it just wasn't a very good draft at the top. Alex Smith went number one, the quarterback, and played a long time in the NFL. Solid player, still active, although he had a really bad leg injury last year, and a lot of people think he may never come back from that. But, you know, a long 14-year career. He was number one pick. Ronnie Brown, running back out of Auburn, had a couple good years in the NFL, but not a great player. Braylon Edwards, wide receiver out of Michigan. Joel would remember him. Played a while in the NFL, but never was that great. Then you had Cedric Benson, number four, and then Cadillac Williams, number five, who were both just okay running backs. Crazy that three running backs were taken in the top five.
But the draft actually had a lot of players. They're still in the NFL, though. It's not like a horrible draft through the draft.
No, and I mean, some of the guys, like Derek Johnson, who was drafted 15 overall by the Chiefs, had a very good career as a linebacker. Aaron Rodgers was taken 24th in that draft. Yeah. Bears could have drafted him. A lot of teams could have drafted him. Bears decided to go with Cedric Benson out of Texas with the fourth pick in 05. Even though they already had an established veteran running back in Thomas Jones, who was very good. But it did light a fire under Thomas Jones. And 2005 team was solid, and then the 2006 team obviously was really good and won the NFC, went to the Super Bowl, and had a lead in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl before giving that away. And Cedric Benson was sort of the change of pace back, and then he had a few good years with the Bengals. In fact, he probably had his best years with the Bengals, and then finished his career briefly with the Packers. And that was it, 36 years old, and apparently a motorcycle crash in Austin,
huge,
Texas.
Huge fiery blast. I mean, just horrible, I guess.
Yeah, and that was it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm gonna push back on you 1 second, Matty. If your play-in game is a tiebreaker for the thing.
That's for the division?
That's considered a league game.
Correct.
And if you flop back into a tiebreaker for the wild card and lose that one, too,
There is no tiebreaker for the wild card. Well, I mean, there could be, but, yeah, it could be. But there wasn't last year.
No, but that is, in essence, still a league game, right? So you could play two postseason games and not make the playoffs.
If you were tied for the division and tied for the wild card, so you're playing to get into the wild card,
yeah.
Then that would not count as a playoff.
Correct.
Yeah, that would, but that's not the case.
Well, the reason why I'm giving
last
Steph
year
time,
or this year.
The reason why I'm giving Steph some time here is I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question that I got asked on the air the other day. When I was not the host, I was the guest like her. So the same thing to her was done to me. With all this craziness in the market, what would you tell your Aunt Ruth about her IRA? Steady as she goes for 9 years, don't save a thing, leave it all in stocks? Or what do you tell her? What do you tell her, Steph? I tell you, we're right back to where we were a week ago, Monday or even a week ago, Friday or Thursday. The 800-point day is forgotten. But you know what, Steph? To me, something's wrong here, and I can't put my finger on it, and I'm very nervous. But I'm asking you the question. What do you tell people?
Well, not being a financial advisor, I tell my own family that I'm uneasy too. I'm very uneasy. I just got trade wars out there, which I mean we've discussed for months and months. Did you see Trump just told the EPA to relax some laws, so now biofuels are no longer required in our fuel, hurting the farmers some more.
Yeah,
I mean it just everything is pointing towards killing off our farming community, which we need to feed us. Let alone was it $9.6 billion industry with China. Not last year, the year before. So it's just. I'm very concerned.
Do the old white guys around him really want to go?
The farmers love him, though.
Yeah, we want to go back to the '50s where you can pollute whatever you want. If you see a tree, you get to cut it down. I mean, that's where these guys are headed. Where the top people get to run everything. All the resources are theirs. I mean, why do people? Does everybody think they're the top person? I used to have people, I mean, and some of that we've ever been in a bar, stuff, but I used to have people in a bar arguing with me that they should lower tax rates for the corporations. I said, well, do you think in a corporate bar they're bitching at each other about lowering your tax rate? Well, no. I said, what do you care about theirs? By the way, did you happen to see Meet the Press yesterday?
I didn't.
For the first time ever, your buddy Larry Kudlow, I know he's not your buddy, was ranting and raving about we're not in a recession, it's the best economy ever. And a guy pulled out one of his quotes from 2007. This is the greatest story never told. It's a Goldilocks economy. We are in the best shape we've ever been in. And like 3 months later, we were absolutely in the dump hole. And he said, his response was, all the economists were wrong. It wasn't just me.
I mean, and at that point, he's probably likely true. I don't know the statistics, but yeah, I'm concerned now. I don't think we'll have a recession like we did in 2008, 2009, that was particular circumstances, but we're crashing industries left and right that have been staples of our economy, and we're doing it under the guise that we're going to get better deals, and there's no deals out there at this point, at least none that seem to be coming to fruition anytime soon. And even if they do come soon, the pressure with the economy and the markets going south seems to make Trump make decisions that just he needs a deal and not a good deal, which just puts us in a worse position because it's not like China doesn't know this. I mean, do you think China's not trying to influence our market down so that they have more negotiating power in these negotiations? I mean, of course they are. They've got a lot of leverage.
Well, they got a lot of leverage, plus they're in all our grad schools because they pay more and we don't let our guys in.
Well, I mean, clearly they understand our communities and our culture, and we're a very open society, which has got its huge benefits, but it's also got its vulnerabilities. China is not. So, you know, penetration into China is a lot different than the penetration into, you know, a place, as we discussed before, that's influenced very heavily by money and where money's put.
Well, Steph, if you have a, real quick, if you have an account here, or if I'm managing it, or if you're helping out your family members and so forth, we can, I use the term cheat, we can we can hedge a little bit by using options, okay? But if you just have a straight 401k, you're either in or you're out. And it's really hard to take your stock allotment down from 100% to 50% and throw it in the money market paying 1%. Yet that really is your only alternative in most of these places. I don't see people ever going to do that, do you? Even no matter how nervous they get.
I don't think, yeah, I mean, I think that's very tough to do. No, I would pull out of some of the more volatile items and leave probably some of the other ones alone. But I'd pull some out so I have cash in my account to get back in when things kind of go down next. Or maybe not next, but kind of after we see the pullback.
Yeah, I mean, I would bet you that of all of our friends that only have 401ks, that I'm going to say 90% of them are 90% in. And probably are there. And something like happens this week, we're right back from last Tuesday, just rekindles the idea that you never pull out.
No, I mean, and I understand that completely. And it, actually, it's probably the correct action based on what we've seen over the last 10 years. However, I do think we are in for a change at some point. But, you know, the good thing about the market is no one can predict it. The bad thing about the market is no one can predict it.
Well, that's right. It'd be nice if we could, Steph.
This is where options trading is important, and a lot of the strategies you guys provide for clients is incredibly valuable.
Well, thank you. Hey, say hello to the little one for me, and we'll talk to you as soon as I can, and for sure next Monday. SPV is up 3150. So come back with Mr. Wayne Manson.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. He's Mr. Wayne Matson, Mr. Weber on the board. S&P futures up 3150. NASDAQ futures up 101 as we're trying to get a good start to our first up week in kind of a while. CEOs of nearly 200 companies just said shareholder value is no longer their main objective. It's their own value. What do you think? What do you think about that, Wayne?
I don't want to think about it anymore after last week. I'm afraid to see what my 401k looks like this week.
After today, you're unchanged. If you're out of town, you wouldn't even know.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, you're fine. Everything's cool now. By the dip.
That's what a certain individual told us over the helicopter noise at in Morristown, New Jersey, yesterday evening.
Well, Larry Kudlow told you that on Meet the Press too.
I don't know. There's something wrong. I you know, Sunday morning, I know people like to have a, you know, sometimes a Bloody Mary or a mimosa, but the guy sounded like he you know, had a few. Especially when he started talking about, you know, this buying Greenland is a, you know, it's a good real estate deal.
Let me put it to you this way. If the global warming continues the way it is without getting into debt discussion over who's causing it, I'm going to say Greenland could be the garden spot in about 100 years.
Yeah, that's if we can still breathe the air. You know, the permafrost melts, and the methane discharges into the atmosphere, which will make us probably a lot like the moon of Saturn, Titan.
Yeah.
Where we'll have oceans, but they'll be made out of methane.
Well, that's a problem. So how come the history of it is, and, you know, Matty Weber's a history buff, why is Greenland actually covered with ice and Iceland actually green?
Oh, it was the original, Donald Trump should like this. It was one of the original real estate marketing scams. It turns out that it's vice versa. They called Iceland, and they said, you don't want to go there. Leif Erikson says, nah, you know, it's too much ice, where it really is pretty green. Having lived there for a year and a half, I can attest to that. Whereas, now Greenland, you know, you want to go there. Of course, in those days, it's changing now with the climate, but it was pretty well nothing but glaciers, icebergs, ice, snow, you know, all nine yards.
Yeah, we rattled off a bunch of stuff earlier, and we're trying to figure out when, you know, there was some sort of a morality, I thought, in this world, and it seems like it's the guys that are running the Democrat from Rhode Island, who's the chair of the committee investigating Amazon for antitrust, just got a whole bunch of contributions from Amazon's people and accepted them.
Oh, I think that's Mr. Cicilline from
right.
Rhode Island.
Yeah. And we got Trump having dinner with Tim Cook, telling him how tariffs for his company are such a bad idea, and Trump saying...
Did he get the name right? He didn't call him Tim Apple, did he?
No.
Okay.
But then he claims that he made a good case why he shouldn't have tariffs. Do you think anybody else on the list couldn't make a good case?
You know, if you ask me, I'd tell him what I think of tariffs. But, you know, I mean, I think, obviously, we have to have a smart trade policy. But, you know, when Larry Crackhead Kudlow, by the way, I'd say that, and that was his nickname when he was in the Reagan administration. Apparently had a little problem with the white substance.
He had some issues with. He was in a. He was in a tank for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is you know, they're talking about 100% increase on French wines, tariff on. I mean, this is like, you know, I'll see you and raise you, but these, you know, this has to do with the economy, not a you know, a poker game somewhere.
Well, I had one last week. I finally got rid of it. Like, I'm sure I could find it again. But NPR came out with a list about how insane it was, and how one of the things that got pushed off was shelled nuts got pushed off, unshelled nuts didn't. Human hair that had yet been made into a wig or a phony beard got pushed off. Stuff that was already made into a wig didn't get. But it was like no rhyme or reason to any of it. It didn't seem.
Well, yeah, I can understand why Trump has a big interest in human hair, because he probably has to have whatever's on the top of his head replenished on occasion. So, although I don't know if it's human or not, I don't think anybody's done a DNA analysis. I think it's roadkill he picked up off the New Jersey Turnpike after his limo hit something.
I would say that the last thing I want to do is go through this again, but I'm going to at least pull the darn thing up. Did you read this? You might be one of the few guys I know that are nutty enough like me to. Did you actually read this? This terrorism does not. Have you heard of this outfit, Sandler, Travis, and Rosenberg?
No. What was that again?
Sandler, Travis, and Rosenberg.
I'm not familiar with them.
Well, evidently they.
It sounds like a law firm advertising on the side of a bus down here in Tampa, though.
Well, they pretty much are. Well, they allege that they are experts on foreign, terrorists and all that kind of stuff. I mean, somebody has to be.
Oh yeah.
And but the list of people, it's like 30 pages long, of the terrorists effective September 1st. Live rabbits and hares, live foxes, live camels. Another camelids. What the hell is a camelid?
A camel.
Live whales, dolphins, and porpoises. Seals, sea lions, and walruses. We import those things? Why? How do you import a whale?
I wonder. I have friends here in Florida that deal with protecting animals and are trying to get these like SeaWorld to stop using these marine mammals for this. They'd be very interested to know that we're actually importing these animals. I didn't think that was allowed anymore. But
well, they're in
the,
but you got to pay a tariff. Here we go. But I mean, every time I see this, I wonder how many people we have working on this stuff. Let's see. Colby cheese processed, not grated or powdered, not subject to generation note 15 or add U.S. note 19 to chapter 4.
Hmm.
What in God's name are we talking about?
It doesn't sound like real cheese.
I guess not.
it sounds like what McDonald's is putting in their
burgers. Here we go. Manny, get this. Processed cheese produced from cheddar cheese, not grated, powdered, subject to add U.S. Note 18, not GN15. The detail on this stuff is who even checks this crap?
Well, you're not too far away from the cheese capital of the world, Wisconsin. Perhaps they need to weigh in on this. And,
well, these are the ones that are...
What's cheese and what's not?
Well, these are the ones all effective September 1st. And there's another 40-page list that got pushed off to December.
Well,
I mean, it's the detail and the grunt in here and trying to pick out one of the... You know what they allowed? They did not push the tariff off? Is on U.S. flags. So you got to pay a tariff on U.S. flags. But they did push. You know what they removed from the list totally? Were Bibles. So the Bible thumpers got the Trump.
I hear Russian flags come in duty free as well. But,
no. There's a duty on a Chinese plate. But the Bible, they took the duty off the Bible. All right. So I got to ask you, who bumped off Epstein? Or did he do it himself?
Well, I'm telling you, I've been following the Epstein, reporting on the Epstein story for quite some time, and I wrote last month, I said, this guy, he's going to be a guest of William Barr, who ultimately is responsible for the Bureau of Prisons, and that was a Bureau of Prisons, that is a facility that they run up in Manhattan, and I said, he's dead, somebody's going to knock him off. I wrote this back in July, and sure enough, the guy's a complete dirtbag, but I was hoping we would actually be able to take that to a trial so we could get witnesses to talk about and co-conspirators, because apparently the conspiracy charge still stands. And obviously, he's now dead, so the charge against him for trafficking, sex trafficking has dropped, but the conspiracy charge remains. And I'm just afraid that, given the fact that, Barr's father hired Epstein at the Dalton School in Manhattan back in the early 70s, or at least had a big say in his hiring, that's more than a reason for Barr to recuse himself. And now we find out the guards were asleep. Epstein was spending as much as 12 hours in the room dedicated to talking to his attorneys, and meanwhile he was having them empty out the vending machines of everything that was there, I guess to use as collateral or whatever, with either guards or other inmates. And then there was a young girl who was in there talking to him for, now we're told that we have sleeping guards. we have, you know, Epstein emptying out the vending machines, talking to a young girl, and this is the same facility that we were told is maximum security because it housed El Chapo when he was under, you know, when his trial was ongoing in Manhattan. I now have to ask whether El Chapo is actually still a guest of the Club Fed or he's not back in Mexico heading up the Sinaloa drug cartel again. I mean, if that's a prison up there, the whole thing smells very bad to me. We'll see if the U.S. attorney, Jeffrey Berman, keeps this case going as he said he would, or whether Barr is going to interfere with it more because he recused himself and then he unrecused himself, which is unprecedented in the history of the United States Justice Department.
Well, but I mean, Trump right told him not to.
That's right. That's right. Trump told him, you know, he pulled another Jeff Sessions, you know, and Trump asked Sessions to recuse himself. He said, I can't. And this guy, of course, Barr is Attorney General because all Trump has to do is tell him something, and he says, yes, sir, three bags full.
Well, we had Carl Deninger on last week, and Carl is from South Florida, where he makes his home there now, and he was, you know, he was evidently totally outraged by this thing when it happened, the plea bargain and everything, and
that was horrendous. Yeah.
Well, to say that it's right on the tip of Carl's tongue is an understatement. So I learned an awful lot last week. I'd have to say that in Illinois, I had heard the name, but it's not something you really lock in on here. But obviously in South Florida, it was a big deal. And, because he's got the island someplace, and a lot of this was going on, I guess, at Mar-a-Lago. And I didn't read the part about the guy, the U.S. attorney, was it Acosta, kept his notes and kept all his stuff and put something out recently about how somebody called him and made the call and said, you gotta back off, all these people are going after our assets or something. And evidently some people were from overseas, and I guess my question is, which Carl didn't, you know, he did say the same thing you did. The guy had a job as like a primary school or a secondary school teacher. Where the hell did he get $500 million? I mean, what's the tab for putting up an Arab prince for a weekend with a bunch of young girls at $500,000?
Well, one of the kids he tutored was the son of I forget the guy's name, but he was the CEO of Bear Stearns, and this guy just really loved Epstein because he was so good in math and, you know, numbers, and said, you know, come over and work for us at Bear Stearns. So he left the Dalton School and went to work there. Apparently, he started handling the portfolio of Les Wexner, who is the owner of these mall stores, for the most part, Victoria's Secret and others like that. I think one of those stores that sell baths and bath products and soaps and stuff like that. But and the rest is history. Epstein just amassed this huge amount of money. Now, was he a hedge fund guy? It's still not clear how he made his money. Now, some would suggest that the money was because he had so much blackmail on very important people. This money, these payments, blackmail payments, were coming into his accounts everywhere. You know, that's an awful lot of money even for blackmail. That's a lot of people that are being blackmailed. The suggestion he was an intelligence asset, as Acosta apparently said, you know, I was told to back off of this case, give him the sweetheart deal, the non-prosecution agreement, which immunized not only Epstein, but all of his colleagues and associates. And now we've got photos up, even after he served his nice little jail sentence in Palm Beach County, where he was actually allowed to go to work during the day and he could entertain guests overnight. He had his own wing of what they call the Palm Beach County Stockade. Now we know that after that, when he was back up in Manhattan, living in the Upper West Side mansion that belonged to Les Wexner, and that was another weird real estate deal where he apparently bought it for $1. we find out that Prince Andrew was sneaking in and out of there. There's photos of him looking through a crack in a door have come out. And people like George Stephanopoulos and Katie Couric, people in the media, were going there for parties. And this is after he's a convicted sex offender whose name is on Megan's list. The mandatory sex offenders registry states are supposed to maintain. It's astounding. And the connection with Donald Trump, which he acts like I don't know who this guy is, even though he's on record saying he's a good friend of mine, has been for 15 years, and then the Bill Clinton financial arrangements, and then this weird thing where he wanted to seed his DNA, and he was, friendly with all these various scientists, including Stephen Hawking and others, Richard Feynman and many leading scientists. It is absolutely bizarre, but I guess he was giving them a lot of money for research, or at least their favorite endowments. And this story, I think we only know 10% now of Epstein's operations, and the question is, will the case continue so we at least can find out most of the other 90%?
Well, the it's somewhat, I don't know where I'm going to even start with this, Wayne, but I don't see any of this on the same level you do, but we had a guest on from, he was from Miami, it wasn't Carl, it was somebody else a long time ago, and he was talking about the mayor who evidently, worked the numbers like they shouldn't have been worked, and built Miami, the Dolphins, that new stadium. And how, when it turned out that there was a bunch of fraud and a bunch of other crap going on, and the guy gets summarily bounced out of office, elected. Not even get thrown out, but he did not get elected again. Well, this guy was saying still, at any major party in the city, like, he's a fixture as a mover and shaker. And,
that's especially after the, Cubans, came over and set up shop in Miami, especially in old Miami, more old Miami, the city of Miami than Miami Beach. They've been they're a political fixture there and a machine, essentially. And it's hard to break apart that machine. The only difference is now the grandkids of these old guys, many of whom came from Cuba after Castro took over, they're shifting more into the Democratic column and away from where their parents and grandparents were solidly Republican.
Well, it is, I don't know, people being people, and it's hard to, man, he was a guy who was the governor here for a little while, and then he ran again for, run for senator or whatever, but he was the governor before,
You're probably Charlie Crist, who's switched parties several times.
No, I'm talking about Illinois, the guy before Rauner, the hell was his name, Democrat,
Who's not in prison right now?
No,
right?
He's not. No, he's definitely
Quinn.
Quinn. I mean, I actually back. Once in a while, I get invited to a party. I mean, it's rare, but once in a while, I get to go. I've been to like two of these parties where all these big guys were hanging out, and Quinn is known. I mean, I don't know if he's a very good governor or whatever, but he is known as a guy that basically does not participate in the, shall we say, the giveaways and purchases of stuff in government. And other people, of course, know Illinois. That's how they live. And I'd say in the other names, there'd be two or three of the, quote, other names in there. In the two parties I went to, I ended up talking to Quinn for like an hour. Nobody else talking to him.
Yeah.
Why am I talking to this guy? He's not going to give me anything. Yet the other people, the names in the state that people, will spit out and say the person doesn't belong there anymore, there's a line to kiss their ring, kiss their butt, kiss whatever, kiss the mistletoe.
Right.
If people, these parties, it could be Attila the Hun has a party in Manhattan. If everybody thinks he's a mover and shaker and you gotta be there, you're there. I mean, there's no morals about I don't wanna be there. I mean, look at, it's nowhere near on the same level, but look at the incredible cachet that A-Rod has now. And for 10 years. And for 10 years, the guy doesn't, I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything like that. I'm just saying for 10 years, the guy broke every rule in the book. Got all this money that he probably shouldn't have gotten because he was cheating to get the contract. I mean, I like listening to him. He's an knowledgeable guy. I mean, I'd like to see the rest of his life be fine. But, I mean, it is stunning how some people can sort of remake themselves and it doesn't matter. And, you know, if a shame politician has a huge party and he's known as somebody who can still, quote, get things done, the place will be mad. But anybody who's got dough is there.
Yeah, Epstein, of course, did, you know, you look at the people he socialized with and, Trump and Clinton were not the only political movers and shakers he was, close to. Two Israeli prime ministers, Netanyahu and Ehud Barak, he was close to. So, we see this, these endowments he gave universities and various charities. He was obviously buying influence. The question is, was that his entree to find out what sort of sexual interest some of these movers and shakers had? And, you know, was that the second, here's a whole bunch of money, by the way, I know what you like, and they'd start inviting them to the island down in the Virgin Islands, where I should add, he basically had bought every governor of the U.S. Virgin Islands, which, of course, the U.S. originally, they were Danish, and we purchased, getting back to Greenland, we purchased those in 1917 because Denmark needed the money.
You wonder how this stuff kind of comes down. And I don't know, is it just this constant need to be with somebody that's powerful, even if they're crooked or whatever? It's like, I mean, a lot of the stuff that's happening, people do to themselves, Wayne. I mean, it's the, it's like my attorney buddy that says, we would never go with having a chip put in ourselves, and yet we carry a cell phone there, everybody knows where we are every second.
And the issue too with Epstein is that he was one of many billionaire residents of Palm Beach, which is a barrier island. And the West Palm Beach police had investigated him thoroughly. They knew what he was up to, yet here all their detective work, everything that they had investigated on him was not even brought to trial because of the deal worked out between the Palm Beach County State's attorney and Acosta down in Miami, the U.S. attorney. Well, and the FBI was involved in that investigation too, so I have a feeling that there is an awful lot of information that was originally looked at back in 2006, 2007, that we has not seen the light of day. And it's, so you look at Epstein down there, and then what just recently happened with Robert Kraft, a member of Mar-a-Lago, although he doesn't live on Palm Beach, he lives nearby in Jupiter, but this is where if you're going to break the law and you're a billionaire, do it down there because, everybody's for sale. Judges, the state's attorneys, attorneys general, U.S. attorneys, it doesn't matter. Money can buy your way out of any problem.
Well, Wayne, what do you do? We've had this, we've criticized and Maddie's had to listen to us talking about, our version of morality and how so forth, but what do you do? You and I are sitting in the Oval Office. One of us got elected there somehow, or everybody in the country died, and we're the only two people left, so we both give ourselves the job or something. We're sitting in the Oval Office, and all of a sudden you get a phone call saying, we got a problem. I go, oh, God, what could this be, right? Well, the Arab guys that we don't like so much that, but by the way, they're only ally in the area. Yeah, I don't know. Don't even go any further. Well, like one of their guys just got picked up in some place in Florida with, 15, 14-year-olds or something. And, at some point you're going to say, get the idiot back on his plane and tell him never to come back. What do you do? I mean, do you need to make an international incident out of it? You'd love to, probably. You might just...
Well,
I'm not so sure what you do.
I think you have to let the attorney general... Hopefully you've selected a very good attorney general who's good at his or her job. And you just don't interfere with it. Let the legal system play out. Don't interfere with what the FBI is doing. And But we don't have that situation now. But if, you know, but if I somehow became president tomorrow, I think the first thing I would do is I'd have the White House staff conduct a complete audit of what's missing here. What did he steal? You know, count all the china, all the silverware. I mean, this may be the first case when he leaves the White House where you actually check him and his family with a magnetometer as they're leaving, not coming in.
Well, but I mean, those kinds of decisions, when you've got the CIA involved, the Defense Department involved, I mean, do you really want to put, you know, I'll make up a company, a supernova country. Do you really want the crown prince of supernova going on trial here when obviously their religion is based on and not doing things like that? You know, they're drinking, they're doing this. But I always wonder these OPEC meetings in Vienna. I mean, how much booze and shrimp cocktail and how many women are flying to get to Vienna for when those guys are there?
There's that diplomatic circuit that we deal with, but you know, we've had Saudis, members of the House of Saud, the royal family, you know, get picked up for DWI, even worse, beating up women, American women over here. There are ways to, you obviously don't want an international incident, but you know, you basically, you know, you're really hard with these countries and say, look, he will never get a visa to visit the United States ever again. And if there's any fines assessed, you make sure that those fines are paid. Maybe restitution to the victims. Look, the biggest crime of all, 9/11, which involved the House of Saud, they never paid one dime.
No.
In restitution. I mean, they get away with that. They're obviously going to get away with beating up, some woman at a Las Vegas hotel. That's because we've allowed them to basically get away, literally, with murder.
I have a question for you. Let's shift gears, if you don't mind, because this thing caught my eye yesterday, and I would love Mr. Weber's influence on this. There was a article yesterday, and I will dig it up here, but it doesn't really matter what the article is. Is evidently we're in deep dark discussions to, I don't know how dark they are, but we're in discussions to get out of Afghanistan, correct?
Yeah. That's true. Those discussions are being held in Doha in Qatar.
Obviously with everything else going on in the world, they don't even make it to the front page. But this is there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make it to the front page. Italian banks, the Argentinian thing was there for like a day. But this article is written by a guy named Jim Golby, defense policy advisor, and Peter Fever, Duke University professor. And they're very concerned about the public's perception of whether or not we won or lost in Afghanistan and what it would mean for people's views of the military and defense going forward. I mean, clearly, after Vietnam, people's view of defense was not so good for a while. And these guys are very concerned, trying to do all these marketing studies to figure out whether the average American thinks we won or lost over there. And it says the 29% of the respondents told they believe the Afghan war was a mistake, 45% believe it was a mistake, 26% were unsure. I think anybody remembers why we won over there? I mean, some people probably do. The interesting part is the Iraq war. A supermajority of Democrats and only a minority of Republicans believe it was a mistake. But this one is somewhat non-denominational when you're talking about different parties.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's been going on so long, there's been so many different presidents. First of all, do you think it's that big of a deal whether they're afraid that when we pull out, evidently we're going to.
Yeah.
That it's either going to be, every headline is, what a waste of 18 years in people's arms and legs and bodies.
Right.
And other people are going to say, the best thing seems to be there hasn't been another plane in the World Trade Center, therefore it must have been a success. I'm thinking, I'm not sure that's going to fly. But where do you think this lands? And most people totally forget about it, unless you got a relative overlap.
Well, as a matter of fact, about 7 years ago, I was in Washington, and I was at the National Press Club, and there was one of the Washington Post reporters who had done so much reporting on the war in Afghanistan was there and giving a talk, and he said, by the way, and this is 7 years ago, he said, nobody's covering Afghanistan anymore. You know, there's still a war going on over there. And I can tell you, if any of you journalists want a free trip, you want to go on a free trip to Afghanistan, and the Pentagon will pay for it, pay all your expenses just to go over there and see what's going on and write about it. Give me your number. Hey, I thought about it. I said, first of all, you shouldn't take any sort of trip courtesy of the Pentagon, because they're going to basically want you to write what they tell you to write. But, the country was not pacified by any stretch. And I said, my God, that's the last place in the world I want to go to. The discussions now are in Qatar between us and the Taliban and the Afghan government. It's hard to say whether the three are meeting or we're just meeting with the Taliban and then taking messages to the Afghan government. It may be that type of discussion. But this recent terrorist bombing in Kabul, like so many, it was carried out by ISIS, the Islamic State. Al-Qaeda is still active there as well. So what we're talking to the Taliban about is, now if you guys get into a power-sharing agreement with the Afghan government, you're going to maintain... Right now, the Taliban is fighting against the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda. So, that old situation we had back with 9/11, where Al-Qaeda was there as the guest of the Taliban, it's no longer the case. And so what we're talking about, I'm sure, is we'll start pulling out if you guys, the Taliban, you just go after these Al-Qaeda and ISIS guys. And the problem is where is ISIS and Al-Qaeda continuing to get their support? It's still coming from Saudi Arabia. And I don't know, Yeah, politics makes strange bedfellows, especially in Afghanistan, which has been called the graveyard of empires. So many countries try to take it over and fail.
Is the Taliban enough of a unit to be able to negotiate?
The Taliban still has a lot of it's all tribal based over there. So the Taliban, their base of support is mostly in the south and in the east among the Pashtun people. And the Pashtuns, of course, also, they're found in Pakistan. So here's one of these arbitrary borders the British drew when they started dividing up their empire into various viceroys and suzerainties. And so if we placate the Pashtuns, they have a lot of influence over the Taliban. But there's other tribes. There's Uzbeks, there's Tajiks, there's a group of Shias that are very close to Iran in Afghanistan, the Hazari people. And, I'm not sure that... I know during the Bush and the Obama administration, we had people who were experts in that area, but I'm not sure those people still work for the National Security Council, State Department, or Pentagon. I think many of them, just because of the situation.
One of my buddies,
with Trump, I'm not sure they're even employed there anymore.
This is years ago. One of my buddies, who had was a lifetimer in the Army, his son was also in the Army, and a really bright kid. Boy, you'd love him, man. He was one of the guys who was taking the money, basically the Taliban guys, trying to buy him off the cash. And I said, what would your solution be? He says, well, Taliban, just like you've sort of said, they're so tied in with the Pakistanis. He goes, draw a new border about 40% of the way up and said, you guys do what you want down here. Join Pakistan if you want. He goes, the people in the north essentially want to become, I don't know about like us necessarily, but they want to join the 20th century, if not the 21st. When you just mentioned the border draw, something like that, would something like that even make sense?
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense in a lot of different parts of the world where the British and French had their empires. These borders weren't even drawn locally. They were drawn in places like London, Berlin, and Paris. Same situation in the Middle East with Syria and Iraq. But, you know, this is what you would call the post-colonialism after effect or hangover, being stuck with all these inequitable situations like Afghanistan. And the same thing in Yemen right now. We see the same thing. It's, you know, people need, unfortunately, I used to say in Washington that the biggest status quo enthusiasts in D.C. were the people at the State Department. They never wanted to see any discussion of redrawn borders because they're viewing the world as it is, not like some people would say, you know, we should change it and try to avoid these conflicts. And I'm sure even with Pompeo firing most of the seasoned diplomats at the State Department, there's still that mindset of, you know, let's keep the status quo. And I hope that's not the thinking with Afghanistan. And certainly, at least it's a good sign we're talking to the Taliban, because the Taliban, we demonized them to the point where they were the biggest radical Islamic group around, and that's not the case. Now, compared to ISIS and Al-Qaeda over there, they actually are starting to look like moderates. And I had a friend who interviewed some of the top Taliban leadership. Most of them, this was in 2001, 2002. Most of them are graduates of British universities. And when he would arrange to set up an interview coming from Hong Kong, they would say, hey, don't forget at the airport duty free to bring us the good stuff. And it used to be that was Johnny Walker Black Label. And then they found out about Blue Label, and they upped the ante. They said, well, bring us the Johnny Walker Blue. So how religious are these guys, really? You know?
Well, it's all politics. Wayne, thank you very much. As usual, really, really good stuff. Have you back soon, buddy. SB Futures up 26. NASDAQ Futures up 94. We're down a little bit from the top, but we're still up real strong. I don't see us bailing out here, at least anytime soon. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, Nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Weber on the board. Mr. David Amlin in a second. Luckbox Magazine, the guide to money and probabilities, available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Maybe we have it on tomorrow instead of a Jeff, one of their guys, right?
Yeah, one of their guys. Let me pull up his name. He's a trading a guy that does a lot of media work. He does some writing. He does some on-air stuff, so he should be really good tomorrow. Let me pull up his name.
Maybe we can figure out how to trade this market.
Well, he's going to be prepared to get into the weeds with you in hour two tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock.
Cool. Anyway, S&P futures up 30 now, and Nasdaq futures up 98.50. They was up as high as 34, but never below like 28. So we've been solid all morning. Dow up 263 over in Europe. We've got I got every single stock in the Dow industrials that's trading is up. Every single stock of the Dow transportation average is up. So we're not sure what's causing this, but it's whatever it is, it's going up. DAX up 166, 1.4. FTSE up 78, 1.1. CAC run up 66, 1.2. Over in Asia, Nikkei up 144.7. That's the slaggard. Shanghai up 59, 2.1. Hang Seng up 557, 2.1. Bonds, we've got bonds 1.594. 10-year yield of Bund, minus 0.64. Oil is up 29 cents, 55.16. So oil's not really helping much. It's been this 55 number for a while, plus or minus a buck or two. We've got gold now down $14, 15.08. It's hanging in there. Obviously, as equities goes up, you want this gold. Well, we don't want it necessarily, but gold sneaks down. CEOs of nearly 200 companies just said shareholder value is no longer their main objective. It's their own personal equity. As employees, that's not what they said, actually, but who knows what they really meant. Maybe we got for us traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have high traffic volumes building on the Edens and Kennedy, as you would expect here on a Monday morning at this time. Same for the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Those are our four slowest moving expressways. Southside Expressway is looking okay, coming in on the Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford. No issues to report on Lakeshore Drive in either direction. Suburban Tollways appear to be quiet at this hour, so that's good news. Off the expressways are where you'll find our only accidents right now. Route 83 southbound at Half Day Road, that's Route 22. There is a crash up in the northern suburbs. Northwest suburbs, Route 176 eastbound at Anderson Road, there is a crash. But everything else is looking good out there, and actually one more issue just came across the screen out near Joliet, I-80 westbound. Just before US 52, there is a crash, and you'll have to touch the brakes there as congestion is starting to build as that crash just came across the screen out near Joliet on I-80. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, A beautiful summer day today. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 81. Right now it's mostly overcast and 74 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 109 today. Right now it's clear and 80. Cubs blew out the Pirates last night 7-1 in Williamsport, Pennsylvania as part of the Little League World Series MLB Classic, something they started a few years back. That's a pretty cool event that they do. Invite all the Little League World Series participants to take in a big league game and socialize
with the players. It's in a minor league park, right?
It's in a minor league park right next to the Little League World Series park, which obviously would be pretty small.
Well, if they need temporary lights, why don't they just increase the lighting in the minor league park?
Did they need temporary lights?
Yeah. They're like two or three. Have you seen they're like a lot higher than the other ones?
So you're saying the minor league lighting for those players sucks compared to big league lighting. Interesting. White Sox were blown out by the Angels 9-2 yesterday. Diamondbacks beat the Giants 6-1. And lastly, as we touched on a bit earlier, Hall of Fame broadcaster famously calling Secretariat's Triple Crown. He called the very first ever Super Bowl, called all kinds of big events for CBS for many, many years. Jack Whitaker passed away. He was 95. Chief.
That's a good number.
I'd take 95. Right,
you forgot CB, Cedric Benson.
Yeah, and Cedric Benson, as we talked about in hour one, passed away Saturday. From an apparent motorcycle crash outside of Austin, Texas, late Saturday night. And he was 36, which is obviously way too young.
Yep.
Hall of Famer as far as college football is concerned.
Yep.
Great running back with Texas. Didn't have a great NFL career, considering he was picked number 4 overall by the Bears, but played in the Super Bowl with the Bears and then had a couple good seasons with Cincinnati and then wrapped up his career with the Packers. But very sad to hear that.
Is it just, hey, David, how are you?
I'm fine.
Is it just Bear fans being usual Bear fans, or all I've been hearing about is how this new running back is like better than Walter Payton,
David Montgomery?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard.
I have no idea. I know he had one game where he had several touches and showed a lot of ability, and they're touting him as the starter again ahead of Tariq Cohen, or they might have some two back sets, but I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, the proof is in the pudding, and I think that exhibition games and real games are different.
He played 3 years at Iowa State, talking about David Montgomery, and averaged 4.7 yards per carry, had 26 touchdowns, also caught the ball in the backfield a lot, 71 receptions for 582 yards. So they see him as kind of being an every down back, but they're going to use Tariq Cohen, like David said, all the time as well. And they'll use them both together. What I'm hearing is that this guy is a much more explosive player than Jordan Howard was. And Jordan Howard was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. He's pretty good to get rid of Jordan Howard.
Yeah. So,
Well, supposedly he can. And these days, I mean, you want somebody out of the backfield who can catch. Not that Jordan Howard couldn't, but they didn't seem to use him in those kind of plays.
Well, if you're the new
5'10", 222 pounds, Chief.
If you're the new football, rather than blocking and having some guy running through the line, although you still like to be able to do that, to get somebody who's that good in the open field without having to do that is clearly the story. I mean the Bears used to do it with Gale Sayers back in the day. They would be the weak side sweep. There's one less defenseman over there, and if he could buy one guy, he's got nobody in front of him except open field. I mean, it's a...
Plus the moves Sayers had were unbelievable.
Well, yeah, it was a different... What do you...
Not just speed. His moves were beyond.
So what do you think of the economics of the Little League thing? We'll just talk about this for a couple minutes, and we'll talk about the market, David, because you're going to tell us all about right back to where we've started. Does that mean we're all okay? But think about that for a second. So if somebody gives up a home game yesterday, so if I'm a Pittsburgh season ticket holder, of which there are not too many, I'm only paying for 80 games, correct? Skybox, 80 games. That's what we're thinking is happening, Manny? It's got to be, because you're missing a date, right?
Yeah.
So Pittsburgh has done it twice. Well, next year it's going to be, what, the Phillies and somebody? It's going to be, no, it's an American League team next year. It's going to be, I don't think it's Boston, but it's somebody, their home date's a lot.
It says it's going to be Red Sox Orioles in 2020.
So I'm thinking it's a Baltimore home date. just with my using my number mentality. I mean, their home gate's got to be a lot less than Boston's. So how do you make that up to Pittsburgh or Boston or Baltimore or don't you?
I don't think you do.
They just lose a home date?
Maybe it's adjusted in the price. I have no idea. I really don't know.
Because,
I held season tickets at Sox, you know, for several years in different seats, and I don't recall that it ever came up as an issue.
Well, no, it didn't. But now, I mean, next year it won't be the Sox, but it could be somebody's going to be playing their first series in London. So
yeah,
if the Sox,
know
you know,
the
give up three games.
I would presume that if, you know, on that order, if you're buying for 81 games and you're only getting 78, that would be an adjustment in the price.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So somebody's losing a home date or two or three. Now, the question is, do you make...
Yeah, White Sox, Yankees at Field of Dreams next year.
Yeah.
What's that? I mean, that's going to be really
cool.
Yeah,
I would expect that would, you know, that the season ticket price would be based on 80 games instead of 81.
But I'm gonna say there, without even... I just remembered a movie. Actually, you know, there's a bike trail that I always wanted to do. You can go from east Dubuque. Dubuque to Field of Dreams. It's about 40 miles on an old railroad right-of-way, which is pretty darn nice. I always want to do that. I haven't yet. But I'm going to say you can probably put up 15,000, 20,000 stands at Field of Dreams. Last night, I don't think there was anybody except TV executives, baseball executives, and little leaguers. I don't think there was even an adult ticket last night you could have gone to that game. So, I mean, none of those kids paid. So we're talking about a full freebie.
Right.
Field of Dreams won't be a freebie. I mean, that'll be a destination.
No, that'll be a serious ticket.
Yeah, that'll be a $100 ticket. So the Sox, I'm going to say they take a hit on 5,000 people, maybe. So it's not kind of in the same. I mean, last night's a full hit. I got to believe the Major League Baseball, because it's the national TV game and everything, is going to give them something. But you know what, Manny? It was a nice game. I enjoyed watching it, seeing all the kids and all that stuff. God, what was it, 4 hours? I mean, it's just too... I mean, whatever, I don't want to go through that again. But all right, David, I had a question, and I know you're registered like I am, so we've got to be careful how we say this on the air, but I got a question on radio yesterday that I, of course, didn't answer because of my registrations and stuff. All this happened in the last couple of weeks. What do you tell somebody, not with us, because we can hedge it. I mean, we have an easy way. We can always cop out, say, let's insure it, let's do something. I mean, I'm saying that's a skill we have, but it's also somewhat of a cop-out, because I'm going to say 80% of the investing public only has a 401k. There's no options they can trade. There's no hedging. They probably can't do any of the, not that you want to get into that, they can't even do like the double short, or not that I would ever recommend that for anybody, but we're talking about mutual funds, cash, or bonds. Well, nobody's going to get a bond here, so that leaves cash at half of 1% or in a mutual fund, or, I mean, what do you tell these people? I mean, And that was the question on the air. And I said, hey, for 10 years.
Well, my daughter and son-in-law and son, they have 401ks. And, you know, they were saying, you know, here are our choices. You know, Dad, what should I do? And basically, you know, I'm saying be as diverse, you know, without the hedging tools available, I'm saying, you know, be as diversified as you can. And, I mean, that's garden variety or supermarket, whatever you want to say. But, you know, I wouldn't put everything in S&P, you know, index fund. I would have a portion, but I would, you know, use, you know, others. I wouldn't use sector funds, but I would, you know, I would try and do a balanced, you know, and even at these levels, you know, maybe some high yield, you know, mutual funds or ETFs if they're available, maybe some metals funds if they're available. You know, get the hedge the best you can through diversification and non-correlated assets.
Other than industries that are just going nowhere and going south, to me this is, and again, I'm just playing devil's advocate here a little bit. When I started the business, David, interest rates were 15%. There was no hedge. There was no diversification. You were either in bonds or not in bonds. Well, you could be buying bonds and after they've just gone down and pick a bottom in there, or you could be in a CD where you're making 12% or 15 if you find the right one. But it didn't matter. If those rates were going down, the whole market was going up. Now, obviously, some companies are going to go up more than another. But today, if the market were to collapse, I don't know that being in every piece of the market helps you all that much. I mean, there are times when it helps you better than if you buy one stock and it goes to zero. I mean, I get that part. But I'm saying right now, it seems like you can only basically screw yourself up. You know, last year and a half, if you were in oil stocks, God, where did that take you? The rest of the world's up and you're clobbered.
And that used to be a hedge.
Yeah. Used to be a hedge. What about bank stocks? They've gone nowhere. XLF's the same price it's been. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, everybody's all worried about Goldman Sachs and all these banks and everything. And now today I've got Goldman Sachs.
I mean, you have Citigroup selling at, you know, less than 0.8 times book value.
Well, Goldman Sachs, I've got it. Let me get a chart up here. But I've got it up 358 today. But this thing has been getting somewhat annihilated. So I've had this thing. It tapped out at 222. And even after a move today, it's, where is it? 203? Not even.
Yeah, 203.01 by 203.49.
Yes, which is exactly where it was. If you go back a whole year, it was 205. Okay.
And the price to book is 0.902.
Yeah.
It used to trade price to book well above 2. So forget the dollar amount, because banks are much more valued typically by industry analysts on price to book versus PE or anything else. It's trading at less than half.
Well, how much, I'll ask this conspiratorial question. How much of this kind of stuff is that they'll blame it on government regulation, but I'm going to say a lot of what the banks make is just absorbed by people that work for the bank. There used to be people who work at banks made like, you know, 15 grand a year. That's not the way it is anymore. I mean,
but beyond, I think the real weakness in the large ones, in Citi, in Goldman Sachs, in, you know, Morgan Stanley and Bank America, not so much JP Morgan Chase, but the others, has been in trading activity, trading margins, speculative losses, etc.
But their core business, to me, is abominably, criminally profitable. The amount, I mean, the fact that...
That's true, but it's not offsetting the declines in the rest.
Okay.
No, it's not. Otherwise, they wouldn't be valued at half of what they were. I mean, they are as far as absolute figures, but again, when you take a Goldman Sachs, and they've diversified and expanded, and their core businesses are making substantial money, then, you know, why, and you're right, you know, I'm sure the bonuses are big or whatever, but they've cut staff. Why is the stock valued at, you know, 0.9 times book value when it used to be valued at 2.3 times
book
value?
Well, I remember, but I mean, what I'm saying, Goldman Sachs, even though they like to consider themselves a commercial bank, and they are listed as one, they're not the same as Wells Fargo, that probably has 30 million accounts that are
They're doing loans to individuals, and they are writing mortgages and whatever. No, they don't have, you know, the savings accounts and things like that. No.
Well, you know, it's. I just got this. Well, you get this stuff all the time. I had a flash up on my, whatever my page. I open up my thing, my Google or whatever, and it said the 6 best credit cards if you're a really good customer. All they were rewards cards, David. Every one of them still was 20%.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. But I mean, are the fees? That man, you should know this. Who pays those fees? Is it when you go in with a? If I go in with my 3% off Costco City card into the gas station, and I get 3 or 4% off the gas, Is the guy who owns the gas station paying that? Where did we lose Mr. Weber?
You're asking me?
Well, you're the credit card genius.
I have nothing to do with credit cards. well, as far as working at a credit card company.
I understand it, but I just thought that you knew everything about him because you're always hanging around those guys.
I think they say if you want to carry our credit card, you're going to eat this fee. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to accept our credit card, and then that's going to hurt your customer business.
So it's not just hoping that people don't pay their bill and end up having to pay the 24% or 5 or 20, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. They're going to go after the merchant, too. Absolutely.
But I do think that gas cards are slightly different. I think some of that is shared. Like, I have a BP card through Synchrony, and, you know, it's 2-3% off everything, and I'm sure the merchants eat that. But on gas, it's 5%.
Yeah.
And I would certainly guess that BP eats at least half of that.
I think you're probably right with the gas. I know for a fact, though, that the merchants are eating those 1-3%
I agree.
Costs.
Well,
which is why a lot of them will put minimums on credit card payments and stuff
right.
like that.
Well, the big, huge move from American Express used to be the only card you could use at Costco. Now it's, I know they'll take the Citigroup because that's their new card. But I went to a steak place on the south side, Jack Gibbons. I talk about old line steak place. I think the drapes are the same as they were 30 years ago. But I pulled out my Costco American Express card, and they said, "We'll take your regular American Express. We won't take that one. We're not giving them a 3% rebate." I said, "Okay," and pulled out my other American Express. But
I get it.
Yeah, it's but I mean, I think on the retail side they're doing exceptionally well. But I don't know, I just don't know. I mean, I hope I don't get the questions today, Kevin or Kevin, David, because
David.
I know David. I know who you are. I don't. Giving somebody advice in 401ks, I mean, say you and I can say, well, let's hedge half of it or do something or get some puts or get out of some of the stock and put it in a call spread or do something like that, and we'll at least cut the risk down a little bit. But I don't know. But, I mean, I think most of the money's in the 401ks, right?
Yeah. And you know, I can't tell you because I have limited, you know, exposure, again, just to kids and in-laws and the like. I haven't seen that many of them here or there. I've had a few brought over, but they don't give a lot of choices where you could get into a, you know, gold miners fund or, whatever, where you could have 5%, you know, of your funds in, you know, gold as a quote-unquote partial hedge. They're still limited in their choices.
Well, most don't let you do any individual stocks.
Right.
And a lot of them were boy, talk about getting tossed out of that. Some of the firms, matter of fact, some notable ones that went under, Bear Stearns allowed you to have money in Bear Stearns, right?
Right.
And then how many people, I mean, I think it was that the only stack? I think it was. I'm not positive about that.
I do know that you could have Bear Stearns. I believe that was the only one.
I mean, I think a lot of those people took a huge hit in their 401k because they were in, I think UPS is the same way. But there's a few around. They allow you to buy companies.
It might have been Lehman, too.
I think it was, too.
I think Lehman, too.
Yeah, because I was having, when there were a few days where it crashed, but the day that Bear Stearns went under, I actually went to a Economic Club of Chicago dinner with the late, very nice man, Jim Tyree. And we're sitting down, and I said, "Jimmy, how'd your day go?" And he goes, "Well, not so hot." And I go, well, I knew that, obviously, he ran Mesro. But he goes, "Two of my best buddies are from Bear Stearns. They just lost their job. They had almost all their money in Bear Stearns stock in the 401k. And oh, by the way, they live in a neighborhood in New Jersey with, you know, 15 other guys from Bear Stearns, and they all got their house up for sale, or will." So when they talk about you lose your job, your retirement, and your house drops by a chunk, and all on the same day, it's like the trifecta, the bad trifecta.
Right.
And, you know, so those guys, But right now, I mean, we're right back kind of to where we were. Well, let's see. I'm going to say we were on the 9th. I'm going to kick up this SPY. It's the easiest one to look at. On the 9th, we were, I'll get this done here, David. Where are we? And 8-2.
29.18 close. And the cash S&P on August 9th.
See, you're going to look at that. I'm looking at the one. Look at the retail stuff. The 9th, SPY, which most, if you're trading the S&P, 291.62. and we're up 50 cents. And with all that stuff happening last week. So if you're out of town, do you just say, eh, looks like everything's okay? Or I guess my question I'm asking you is, does a week like this week with 50-point moves in the middle of the night with the Chinese, in my mind, actively trading it by telling you one thing at 2 in the morning and reversing it at 4 in the morning, some stuff coming out of the White House, does that kind of movement, is there a message there in terms of health for the market, or is it, we're fine?
I wouldn't say we're fine, and this isn't necessarily to be taken as a bearish comment or even, you know, bad negative, but it's your theory for years that when Germany says, you know, we're going to, one coalition of the German government says, you know, we're going to do stuff to, we're going to get off our balanced budget and take on debt and whatever because we need to prop up the economy. And then China over the weekend says we're going to lower rates and add other stimulus packages to boost our sagging economy. You know, yes, you can't fight the quote-unquote put that central banks are providing to the markets as far as liquidity, and you do have to be cognizant of, you know, not a breakthrough, but some kind of slim skeletal trade, you know, thing in September, even if it's just Trump backing down and saying we're not going to impose, you know, the tariffs on, you know, the non-named items that they talked about, mainly apparel and electronics. So don't get all-out bearish, but when it's propped up mainly by central banks, I think portfolios need a partial hedge.
All right, David, we'll talk about more on Thursday, buddy. Have a good week. Thank you, Matty. S&P futures still up 31.50, right about where it's been. NASDAQ futures up 104. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
Want to go to Tchotchke's, get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.